This is Cut to It with Steve Smith Sr., a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio. I'm Steve Smith Sr.
And I'm Gerard Littlejohn.
And this is Cut to It.
Cut to it. Cut to it. Let's get down to it. Cut to it.
We ask the questions you always want to know, but no one ever asks.
Let's cut to it.
I should know it's on.
You ain't heard about it, then we're about to let you know.
I should know it's on.
It's on.
What's going on, Cut to It?
Crew, how you doing? Agent 89, Steve Smith here. I'm solo today. It's a reason. Really, this episode for me is something extremely personal. It's something that's extremely scary to not necessarily put myself out there, but for me more of get the freedom out. If you've listened to our podcast, my podcast, you've known I've talked in ways that maybe would sound very clinical, which is true because I receive counseling, and not because I'm documented crazy that I act like, but it's more of because of what I experienced and what I know that I can't fix everything and process it and go through the process by myself. So I seek help in that process. And it's been extremely helpful just because I've had a sports psychologist through my NFL career, which I've seen the benefits of talking through things and understanding, having a plan, a psychological plan, understanding why and how. And so that's really benefited me to where if you could use it professionally and it benefits, you obviously have to also invest personally. And so through the years of counseling, the last couple, probably like the last 2 years, I discovered something that happened to me when I was a young child that I didn't realize until my late 30s that something happened to me that really impacted me. And if we talk about today, what that is considered, it is considered sexual assault. I was assaulted when I was a kid, and however way it is, I'm not trying to make light of it. I'm not trying to minimize anyone. It is very traumatic, and it's something that if you have experienced it to whatever degree, whatever form, it's real and it has a lasting effect. And something that I realized that is done to me, it has made me grow up holding secrets. To where every single day, every single moment that I've had, I've asked myself or had that unconscious dialogue within myself. Keep it to yourself. Don't say anything. So I want to tell and one, get the freedom out of what I experienced, but also to help, hopefully help someone else be able to share their story or just know that you're not by yourself. Sometimes it's just knowing that you are not by yourself. You're not alone. And so I have four kids, and my youngest, Deuce, 7 years old. My wife homeschools him. He's in the second grade. What I experienced, I was just a year older than my son. Maybe a year and a half, but not much older. I will not use the names, but I will tell a story because I think it is important after all these years that the person who did it and then also the people that were involved, it is not my goal and it's not my responsibility to hold them accountable. I don't believe so because I've held on to it this long. It's just more for me to let it go and release and remove that secret. So here goes. When I was around third or fourth grade, I was over. My mom had a friend who had children. She had a daughter and a son. And I used to go over there a lot. And we had good friends. It was great friendship. But during that process, we were old enough. You know, this is, I was a latchkey kid, right? You wear your key on the shoelace. You didn't show anybody. You didn't take anything off. You didn't take off the key. You didn't sit it down. If you played basketball with your shirt off, you kept that key on your neck. You do not take that key off. And you definitely don't open the door for anybody. And in California, L.A., where I grew up, you don't even open the door when mom's not home for the Jehovah's Witness. You just keep it moving. And so we were all hanging out. My mom and their mom were off. I think they ran to the store. They did something. And I don't recall that part. But it was three of us. It was a gentleman who was older than me. And he had a younger sister who was maybe same age as me or a year older. And we're all hanging out. And things got a little funny. He says, "Hey, y'all take your clothes off." Man, I'm young. You know, okay. So I take my clothes off. And as I take my clothes off, I also cover myself. In third, fourth grade, man, you hide yourself. And we take off our clothes, and then he starts to instruct us in what to do. He tells me to get on top of her, his sister. I had no idea what I was doing. I also had no interest in doing anything he told me, but I was also afraid if I didn't do it, what would happen. So as we start, he tells me to stick it in. I don't know what he's talking about. I have no idea. And I am not interested again. And so he starts to instruct us into having sex. Now, I'm in the third grade. I know zero about sex. My mind's not even there, let alone my body parts functioning in the way that they're supposed to, and I have no idea. So he's telling us things to do, and he's watching us, and now he's starting to direct and give us orders and give us instructions. And so I go through it, and then I finally just stopped because I had a feeling down there that was unfamiliar to me. It didn't feel right. I didn't feel good. And so I got off of her, and I kind of went into the bathroom, and he followed me. He said, "What's the matter?" I said, "Man, it feels funny. It's burning." And now being an adult, that was basically me not being able to produce something, but that's what it was. And more than anything, what transpired after is where the secrets grew, where the post-traumatic stress syndrome really started to kick in. And I don't mean that to say it in a way that to use it lightly, but I was really struggling with it because he said, "Don't tell anybody. You better not tell anybody." And so that's where the manipulation comes. That's where the predator type of behavior starts to hover over the content of what I'm saying, is because I had no idea. I was a young kid, not interested, had no idea what was going on, but the ramifications, even the years later, even where it is today, still affect me till this moment. And what are those things? Those things of holding secrets, feeling that at such a young age, that you can never be safe. And so mom came home, came back. You know, we stayed around a little bit. We left. But here's where the trauma started. The trauma started because every single moment after that, I was in fear. Say, what kind of fear were you in? Well, I was in fear that I was going to get told on because I felt like I did something wrong. Now, what I did was wrong and it should have never happened to a young kid, child, but I felt that it was something that I did that caused that, which I know now I didn't. I had no idea what I was even doing. I cannot fathom that a third grader or fourth grader is going through this. Now, today. And so after that, you know, this is before pagers, internet, all that. So every time the house phone rang, I thought it was them telling on me. And I felt that way for a very long time. Now, I'll repeat that because I don't think people really understand the gravity of what I just said. There were no cell phones. I think the only thing they really had was maybe a pager. And like you were a dope boy or a doctor that had a pager like that. It was not like cell phones today where anybody can have one. All right. This is when they still had the yellow pages and the phone book and operators. And so every time the house phone rang, and here's the problem with why is that so traumatic? I grew up in the inner city. I grew up with a mom who just tried to do her best and make it. So we had a lot of outstanding bills. So there were a lot of times bill collectors were calling. Now, not to tell on moms, but moms would always, my mom would be her aunt, her sister, her mom. No, she's not here. But I feared every time the phone rang. I was scared. I was frightened. Because is that them? Are they going to tell? But more than anything, I fear what my mom would think. What would my mom do to me? Because I, at some point, felt that I did something wrong. And I struggled a very long time with it. I struggled because I couldn't tell my mama. I couldn't tell my dad. I couldn't tell my grandparents. I couldn't tell anyone. And so you got to understand, a third or fourth grader walking around the world holding that secret. That he did something wrong. That he caused this. Which to this day, I still struggle with people. Because I had something happen, multiple things, this didn't happen a lot, but it happened one too many. And I realized the damage that it's caused. You talk about friends, you talk about the yin and the yang. Man, there is no yin and the yang when you have these kind of trauma. I didn't realize it was sexual assault or sexual abuse until I did counseling and the counselor told me. I'm like, really? Because when you're hiding that kind of secret, you internalize that secret. You start to believe everything that has happened, you have done something to cause that. I was forced at a young age to have sex with a girl that I didn't want to. When I got up that morning, I did not know that was going to happen. But unfortunately, when I went to bed different. I rose that morning broken. A piece of me given to someone else. at an age that I was not prepared or could psychologically or physically handle it. My innocence was taken away from me. And that's tough. But today I can say and talk about it in a way that's freedom. This podcast for me is a place where we could be real. We could drop the personas and drop all of what we think of people and hear their true story of who they are at their true essence at the core. I played many years in the NFL. But before, even one day before I put on a pair of cleats, I've seen things as a young man. I've been through things as a young man that I never want my children to experience. Because I can see the end result. The closed offness that I have towards people. Towards my family at times. Towards the world. For a very long time towards God. Because if this God is so great, how can he allow a young man to go through that? But I also now see that part of that is part of his plan and his purpose. I really believe it because I'm living it. It ain't no way. As my son Boston would say, ain't no way, boy. That I will be where I am today without the traumas and the things that I experience. And each year, each month, each quarter, as I do counseling, I learn more and more about myself that I shouldn't have experienced. But at 42 years old, I realized I got some freedom. In my mind, I get to finally let go. In my heart. Some people would probably, even my wife said, what was the point of that? The point is for me, cut to it is my sanctuary. It's a place of peace. But it's all the things that go on off the mic, off camera that I'm doing and processing through counseling to go. I can identify and I can understand. And I don't have it all together. And I'm not going to act like I do. But the purpose of this is we can't cut to the chase. We can't cut to it. If we're unwilling to do what we're asking our guests to do. Very few times on here, I will use the name that few people are allowed to call me by. I'm Steve Smith, Senior. But really, for a very long time, I did not believe that I was special and a unique person. That there is no one else like me. That I'm competent and lovable. Stevon Latrell Smith Sr. is free. I appreciate you listening. I hope this story gives other people an opportunity to share and be open to seek help as well in things that you've dealt with or been asked to do or you've had to do at a young age that's not fair, or as an adult that you've been manipulated into doing. I appreciate your time. This is Steve Smith Sr. You've been listening to Cut to It. You are a unique person. You are well worth it. You are competent. And most of all, you're lovable.
Cut to It with Steve Smith Sr., that is me, is a production of Cut to It LLC, Balto Creative Media, The Black Effect, and iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
From Cut to It, executive producer Steve Smith Sr., co-host Gerard Littlejohn, talent and booking manager Joe Fushi, social media team, Wesley Robinson and John Cho. From Balto Creative Media, Cut to It is produced by Brian Baltashevich and Meredith Carter, with production assistance by Alex Lebrecht, production coordinator Taylor Robinson. Theme music by Alex Johnson, lyrics and vocals by Anthony Hamilton.
If you ain't heard about it, then we're about to let you know.
Cause you know it's on.
It's on.